So, I've introduced you all the tools from calculus and from the geometry of a ring we will need throughout all the course. So now we can start the actual course. We can start speaking finally of optimization. So I will recall a couple of things that we already discussed in the very first lecture. Optimization problem means that we have a function from Rn to R, and we have a subset D of Rn. And we are interested in finding the points of D which provide the minimum or the maximum value of F over D. Okay? I will generally we write the problem in this way. We give it a name, for instance C, and we write it this way. Min, which means we want to minimize, F of X such that X belongs to D. Okay? This means two things. It means that we want to find an X bar which belongs to D such that F at X bar is less or equal than F at X for all X which belong to D. Okay? The set of points D, the set of points X bar, which satisfies these two conditions, is generally called the R-min of F over D. Okay. Just note that from a mathematical point of view, when I write these things, it's the set of all values f at x such that x is any value into D. Okay, all possible values into D. So this is a set of real numbers. Okay. The value of one point, the value of another point, and so on. The values of all points in D. Okay? So, you can take the infimum of that set of real numbers. Okay? This is called the optimal value. It is called the optimal value if it is a finite number, because the infimum of a set of numbers could be minus infinity. Okay? Otherwise, if the infimum is minus infinity, we say that the problem, the optimization problem, is unbounded by below. In Italian, inferiormente illimitato. Okay? Notice, clearly, if it is unbounded by below, there is no point X bar satisfying this condition. Okay? Because whenever you take a value, since the infimum is minus infinity, you can always find a point at which the value is smaller. Okay? But even if the optimal value is finite, it could be possible that there is no such point, no minimum point. I give you an example in one variable. We already met it when we discussed Weierstrass theorem. Let's take, for instance, the set of non-negative numbers. Okay? And f of x, we take e minus f. Okay? The graph of this function is done this way. Okay. If you want to compute, if you take the infimum, you are computing the infimum. You are computing the infimum of this set. Okay. As x goes to plus infinity, this quantity goes to zero. And this quantity, since it is a power, it is always the power of a positive number, it is always positive. Okay? So, indeed, the infimum of this set is zero. The optimal value of this optimization problem is zero. Do we have a point? Do we have a point satisfying this condition? I mean, do we have a point at which the value of the function is zero? The answer is no. Okay. It should be a point, to satisfy this condition, the point should be such that e at minus x bar is equal to zero, and we know that this is not possible. So, if a problem optimization, minimization problem is unbounded by the law, it has no optimal solution. But even if an optimal value exists, finite, it doesn't necessarily mean that there is a point which minimizes the function over the set. Okay? This is the reason why you make this distinction. When you write the mean, it said that you are interested in finding the minimum or the minimum of the values. Okay? And by this notation, you denote the set of points which provide the minimum value. But the two things are different.
If in this case there is a minimum or not? In this case, they are the minimum.
So the answer is no, there is no minimum point. There is no minimum point. But the problem has an optimal value.
Optimal value.
Okay. The optimal value of the problem is zero, but no solution provides the optimal value. Okay. So it means that you can find a solution. You can find an approximate solution. You can find the point at which the value of the function is arbitrarily small, arbitrarily close to the optimal value, arbitrarily close to zero, but never zero. Okay, so we define the problems in this way. Okay, but what we are interested actually is to find the point which provides the minimum value. Okay, and if you find the point which provides the minimum value, then you also have the value, but not vice versa. Okay. Up to now, I said that f could be any, d could be any. Optimization problems are classified according to which kind of function f you have and which kind of set d you have. Okay? So, when d is the whole space Rn, we speak of unconstrained optimization. Okay? When D is a proper subset of Rn, So it's not that whose faith we speak of constrained optimism. Constrained. So the constraint is another way to name the setting. Okay? The set of of the points that you consider feasible. Okay? The points of the earth, the feasible points, D represents the constraint. Well, take this case. Well, D could be finite or countable. Okay? Can be made by a finite number of points or can be a countable number of points. In this case, we speak of discrete optimization. Okay? When the points are have components, all the components equal to 0 or 1, problems are generally called combinatorial optimization. Problems of combinatorial optimization. If the points of the set have integer components, we speak about integer optimization. Okay? This is just to give you some terminology. Generally, if D is uncountable, and also F is continuous, the term which is generally used is continuous optimization. Okay? Sometimes people speak about continuous optimization even if the function is not continuous. Just to say that the set D has some continuous structure, is not a set of isolated points. In this case, if f is a linear function and d is a polyhedron, most of you have already met this type of problems, which are the problems of linear optimization, okay, or linear programming. Because optimization problems are also called problems. Okay, a different name for an optimization problem is a program. Okay? This comes from, let's say, historical reason, because optimization is old in mathematics, but it was somehow rediscovered in, or taken once again to a lot of attention in the 30s and in the 40s through military corporations who had to program the logistics of their activities, and the game program comes from there. Okay? It's very different from what you mean for programming in computer science nowadays. Okay? It comes from the schedule of logistic operations, which somehow they were trying to optimize. Okay? I prefer optimization, the word optimization, but sometimes programming or program will come out of my mouth. So, those of you who studied undergraduate program here have seen this in the operation research course, linear programming. If the function is not linear, and or the region is not a polyhedron, we generally speak of non-linear optimization or programming. Okay? Non-linear continuous optimization. And our course, our lectures, will focus on this. On this case.
Linear
optimization means that the function is linear and the region is a polyhedron. If one of these two things does not happen, the function is non-linear, and or the region is not a polyhedron, then you speak of non-linear optimization. Linear optimization means that everything you have, it can be described linearly, with linear functions. Because polyhedra can be described by linear functions. If something you have in the description of your problem is not linear, you speak of non-linear optimization. Okay? Our focus will be here, in the department, in our Master of Science programs, we have also some courses which focus on discrete optimization. Okay? Why did I choose nonlinear optimization? Well, there are two reasons. Because I like it more than discrete optimization, and the most serious reason is that it's the one which has the strongest connection to numerical analysis. Okay? So, which has the strongest relationship with what Professor De Villalba will be teaching. Okay, time to start. So, I will give you 2nd time today, the definition of optimality. So, I will focus on minimization problems, but maximization problems are similar. It is enough, so you can turn a maximization problem into a minimization problem just changing the sign of the function. Okay? Because maximization, you want a point such that the function of the point is greater or equal than the function as a square. You multiply by -1, and you want that minus the function at the point is less or equal than minus the function at every other point. Okay? So I will focus on minimization, but what I'm telling you can be applied to maximization problems too. Just switch the sign of the function. So, formally, a point x bar in Rn is called global, and you will understand why global, minimum point of our optimization problem P if it satisfies two conditions. First condition is feasibility. X bar must belong to D. Second condition, F at X bar, must be less or equal than F at X for all X in D. The first condition is feasibility. The second condition is optimality. Okay?
There's also another definition,
and it is the definition of a local minimum point. Which is the difference? The difference stands here. Okay? A point is called the local minimum point of our organization problem, if it is feasible, and if it satisfies the optimality condition, not for all x in the whole region D, but just close to F1. Okay? So if the optimality condition is satisfied for all x which belong to a ball centered in x bar with radius epsilon for some appropriate epsilon. So if there exists an epsilon such that the optimality condition is satisfied in a ball of center x bar and radius epsilon. Okay? So it's a local minimum point if it is local only if you look around the point. Okay? Are the two definitions actually the same? The answer is no. And I'll show you a very simple example, once again, with n equal 1. I'm just drawing you the graph of a function of one variable. Let's say, for instance, that d is the full Rn, and the function, the graph of the function is done, for instance, this way. Okay? Take this point here, and take this point here. Okay? This point is not the global minimum point, because the value of the function here is this one, and the value of the function here is smaller. But it is a local minimum point, because if I take a ball here, the value of the function is smaller, is the smallest among all the values at the point in this ball, in this interval. Okay? So this is a local, but not global. Okay? This is a global. Clearly, a global is also local. Because if it is minimum everywhere, it is minimum also if you restrict to a ball. But the vice versa is false, and this is an easy example. Okay? Do you have questions? Do you have any doubt on this? This is very important because this leads to a relevant distinction. Do we want to find local or global minima? Okay? This leads to different types of things. You could speak of local optimization, you are interested in finding local minima, local minimum point, or global optimization. You are interested in finding the global minimum of the function on your region. Okay? Global optimization is hard. And I don't mean hard in a generic sense, I mean that general global optimization problem is anti hard. Okay? I don't focus on complexity, but you can turn many problems, you know, to be anti hard into a global optimization problem. Okay? Local optimization can be solved by the fishing. Okay? It depends on your assumption, but it can be solved.
Well, there is a situation in which local and global optimization coincide.
So this is a nice problem. I would say that all the algorithms we will study during the lecture will be algorithms for local optimization. But if local is equal to global, the two things are the same, so they're enough also there. Why is it that you have this nice problem?
Well, when your problem enjoys some properties, okay, which relate to this concept, convexity.
Okay? It turned off at the right moment.
So, convexity is a concept which is suitable both for sets and for functions. Okay? And now I give you the definitions. And I will use the screen because I have some nice pictures from to show you. A subset of Rn is called convex whenever it has this property. If you take two points of the set, okay, and you take the segment which unites the two points, the whole segment belongs to the set.
Linear dependent.
No, because zero could be here. They could be, for instance, 0, 1 and 1, 0.
No, it's not
linear. No, because it's two. So, you have two points. Let's say these are linearly independent. But you are taking the segment here. Okay. So, if you have two points in the set, and the whole segment which unites the point is contained in the set is convex by definition. Mathematically, you state it this way. You take two points. How do you describe the segment? The segment is described this way. It is, if the points are x and y, the segment is described by the points of the form lambda times x plus 1 minus lambda times y for lambda that is between 0 and 1. Okay? If lambda is 0, you take y, you get y. If lambda is 1, you get x. And for all other values, you get the points in the segment. Okay? Is it clear? Is that?
Okay.
A set is not convex when this does not happen. So, this is an example of a convex set, and this is an example of a non-convex set. Okay? Convexity for functions. Keep this in mind, okay? You can describe the segment between x and y in that way, for lambda that goes from 0 to 1. Okay, let's take a function on which is defined at least on the convex set.
We generally take the functions which are described everywhere, okay? Which are defined everywhere.
So, I didn't notice it was this way. Let's say f is defined everywhere, and we say that it is a convex function on a convex set D if it satisfies this property.
Okay? You take any x and y in D, in your region, and you evaluate the function at a generic point on the segment, which unites the two points, okay? So, in this one-dimensional example, here you have x, and here you have y, okay? This is the segment. So, this is the generic point of the segment. The value at the generic point of the set of the segment is less or equal than this value here, okay? So, the point, the segment is lambda times x plus minus lambda times y. The value here must be less or equal than lambda times the value of x plus 1 minus lambda times the value of y. Let's see it on the picture.
Integral?
No. Let's see it on the picture. The value of x is this one. Okay? So this is the point x, f at x. This is y, this is the value f at y. Okay? The right hand side describes this line. Okay? So if this is this point, this is the value on the line. On the right hand side. And this is the value of the function. Okay? This is saying, take two points on the graph of the function and draw the line. If the line is above the graph of the function is convex by definition. Okay? You have the graph of the function, you take two points on the graph and the segment which unites them. It must be above the graph of the function. Okay. You can see it clearly with n equal 1. And mathematically, it is stated this way. Take this area of the plane. Okay. All the values which are above the value of the function at the point. Okay. The part of the graph of the plane which is above the graph. This is called the epigraph of the function. And well, from the picture it seems that it is a convex set. Indeed, a function is convex if and only if its epigraph is a convex set. Okay, the epigraph is the set of points x, t, such that t is greater or equal than the value of f at x. Okay? So you have the graph of the function. The f, you take a point, the value is here, so you have also all these points. So the epigraph is this. Okay? This is not a convex function, because the epigraph is not a convex set. I take this point and this point, and the segment is not contained in the set. Okay? A function is convex if and only the epigraph is a convex set. So actually, the two concepts for set and function have a strong correspondence. Okay? Somehow you define convexity of function through convexity of set. Okay? And it is this one. Well, last definition I can give you. A function is concave if minus the function is convex. Okay? You just switch the picture upside down.
Okay? And the function is concave if the part of the space which is below the graph is a convex set. Okay? This is called the hypergraph. Okay? Are these concepts clear? Because the result, the theorem is the following. Consider a convex set and a function from Rn to R which is convex on D, which means this, okay? Then any local minimum point of our optimization problem D minimized F over D is also a global minimum point. Local minima are also global minima. Since the vice versa is always true, this means that local minima and global minima coincide. Indeed, this leads to another terminology, which is convex optimization. Okay? When the objective, when you have a minimization problem and the objective function is convex and the feasible region, that is the set D, is convex, you speak of a convex optimization problem. And it's a class of problems for which local and global minima coincide, and for which applying any algorithm that computes local minima provides you also global minima. I say once again, it will be, let's say, relatively easy to build algorithms for local optimization. It's extremely hard to build algorithms for global optimization. Okay? Up to now, we don't have any good method for all global optimization problems. Okay? Just for specific kinds of global optimization problems. But we do have a large number of good methods for finding local minima. So, convex set and convex function are very important concept in optimization. When you have convexity, you are effective. Okay? There is another concept of convexity, which is strict convexity. Okay? What does strict convexity mean? It just means that this inequality here is strict. You replace less or equal with less. Okay? So I don't write the definition again. It's exactly the same, just replacing here the less or equal sign with the less sign. Okay? The less symbols. It means that this point does not coincide with this one. Always. Okay? I'll show you an example of a convex function which is not strictly convex. Once again,
one variable only. Suppose you take a function which is done this way. Okay? This is an horizontal line. You take 2 points here, x and y. You take a point in the segment, which has this form. Okay? You take f of x, you take f of y, they are equal. So here you get f of x or f of y, because they are equal and the sum of these two coefficients is 1. Okay? And the value of the function on the intermediate point is the same. Okay? The line which unites these 2 points and the value of the function at the point on the segment are the same. Okay? So this is convex, but not strictly convex. Because if you make, if you draw that picture, the segment and pass through this point if the function is not strictly convex. Okay? At least for some x and some y and some lambda. Okay? Why am I speaking about, I'm spending time to tell you about strictly convex functions? Because strictly convex functions have a nice property. Well, uniqueness of minima. So, another theorem, once again, you have a convex set. Your function is strictly convex on your region D, then there exists at most one minimum point. Maybe the problem has no minimum point, but if it has minima, there is just one. Okay? So, it is a uniqueness result. Minima and global minima is the same concept. Okay, so you don't even need to say, because you know that the two concepts are, in this case, are the same. Okay. Indeed, it is global. Okay, but if you write global, you might imagine that there are many local. But in this case, you have at most one local
and one global.
Yeah, because it's the same. Okay, you don't need to make the decision. Okay, let me switch this off.
On Tuesday, I will show you some properties of... No, we are not done. But on Tuesday, I will show you some properties of convex function. I will give you a list of properties, okay? And we will use a few of these properties. I just want now to give you... I want to give you the proof of this, because the proof is very, gives you some idea of that we will be using in other proofs. Okay, it gives, let's say, it's a sort of basic brief. Okay, of ideas. How do you prove? You prove by contradiction. Okay, you want to show that any local minimum point is a global minimum point. Suppose this is not true. It means that I have a local minimum point which is not a global minimum point. Okay, so x bar, let's say it's a local minimum, but it is not a global minimum. What does it mean? It is not a global minimum. It means that there is some point x such that the value of f at x is less than the value at x bar.
No, why not?
That's not true. You say that this is local but not global, and I show you a contradiction. Okay? So that it cannot happen, that it is local but not global. Okay? The argument is by contradiction. Well, what do I do? A local minimum, it means that f at x bar is less or equal than f at x for all x which are in a ball of center epsilon and radius of center, sorry, x bar and radius epsilon, and they are at the same time solution D. Okay, let's take this point. A point, a generic point on the segment which goes from x to x bar. Okay? F is convex. We compute the value of the function at x. This is less or equal by the definition of convexity of this one. Okay? This is the definition of convexity. But we have this inequality. So this is smaller than this. Lambda is a positive number, so this sum is smaller than this. Okay? I prove that in every point of this segment, the value of the function is less than the value at x bar. So, the proof now is over, because I have x bar, okay?
doesn't extend f the first function f in x
in this point.
Yes, I don't.
Okay. We know that x bar is a local minimum point, so its value is minimum here. Okay. But at the same time, we just proved that on every point of this segment, the value of the function is less. Okay. But this segment, sooner or later, will enter this ball. So this is a contradiction. Okay. It is not possible that it is a local minimum. Okay. So this, you get a contradiction. It's a local minimum, but in any ball around the point, you find another point on this segment at which the function has a smaller value. And so, a contradiction. Okay. So the idea of the proof is just: you start with the contradiction argument, and then you take. You consider the function along the points of this segment. That's it. The proof of this other theorem exploits exactly the same idea, okay? In a different way. What do you contradict here? Well, you win by contradiction and you say, okay, this is false. It means that there are two different points at which the function has a minimum value. Okay. You take the segment and you get to a contradiction. Okay? So, for today, this is all.
My question is about the definition of x on f. It's signed or not?
Here. It's a name. No, x and f. No, one is signed and the other is not. If this were signed, this would be always equal to x bar. Okay. So on Tuesday we will start with some property of convex function. I hope today I convinced you that convexity is important for optimization.